Open your Bibles, if you would, tonight to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The name of the message is A Good Hope. A Good Hope. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we'll read from verses 13 to 17 to read the context of what we'll look at. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 to 17. A good hope. A good hope. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Do you have something that you're hoping for? We all have hopes, don't we? We all have hopes. We all have hopes and aspirations. Everyone. I ask us tonight, we who are here and those who are listening in and those who will listen through downloading the message or on CD, what is your hope for eternity? What is your hope for eternity? Every one of us is going to die. Every one of us here in this room, everyone who's listening or will listen, we are going to die. We are going to depart from this world. One day, we will breathe our last breath. And I ask you, what is your hope for eternity? What's your hope for eternity? Some hope in their works, thinking that their good will outweigh their bad, that God will put them in the scales of justice and well, you know, I'm not too bad. And they think that their good will outweigh their bad. I used to think that before the Lord saved me. I must confess that I used to think that way. Some hope in their church membership. The fact that they belong to a certain church. There's many people who in this world who that's their hope. Some hope in their priest confessing to them before they die and seeking absolution for their sins through a confession to another sinful man. There's millions who believe that. Some hope in their baptism. There's a whole movement out there that believes you must be baptized to be saved. Now, baptism is one of the ordinances that the Lord gave the church, and it's very important. It's a public confession of an inward conversion. But it doesn't save us. But there's so many people out there that believe it does. And even the Catholics believe in baptismal regeneration. They believe that they were saved at their baptism when they were just a little baby. Some hope in their experience. Well, I prayed a prayer 20 years. I walked an aisle and shook a preacher's hand and came up to the altar and cried it out and gave it all to the Lord. And they trust in that experience. They trust in that experience. But all of those things I just mentioned are false hopes, beloved. They're false hopes. There is only one hope to rest our eternal souls upon. One. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The good hope spoken of here, the good hope through grace spoken of here, which we will consider tonight, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the object of our hope. And the believer has this hope through the grace of God. Through the grace of God. Not by anything we've done and not by anything we do. It's pure grace, beloved. It's pure grace. It's God's grace given to the sinner in and through Christ. Now let's consider the verses before our text, looking a little at each verse and then focusing on verse 16, which brings forth the fact that we have a good hope through grace. Again, grace which is given to we who believe in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a gift of God. It's a gift of God, right? Not of works, lest any man should boast. Look at verse 13. And remember, Paul's writing to the Thessalonians, believers. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So Paul brings forth, lest these believers should be discouraged and fearful of their security in Christ because of his account of the Antichrist and his followers, which came before this portion, Paul encourages them in this verse. And note, beloved, how his words are seasoned with grace. His words are seasoned with grace. I thank God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. So he calls them beloved of the Lord. They're loved by God. And it's only because of God's grace that we do not perish with the apostates that were mentioned earlier in the chapter. It's only by the grace of God that we are saved while others perish in their sins. It's only by the grace of God. And praise God, it's only by the grace of God that we love Him because He first loved us. In our natural state, we never loved God, and we never would have unless by grace and by regeneration we're born again of the Holy Spirit, and now we love Christ. Now we love Christ. God chose you from the beginning to salvation. It says, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Paul comforts our dear brothers and sisters with the fact that we who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ were elected to salvation in Christ before the foundation of the world. God hath from the beginning chosen you. This is wonderful. Because we know Scripture says we never would seek God. We'd never choose God. But praise God, He makes His people willing in the day of His power. And what do? We run to Christ. We run to Him. Because He had chosen us from the beginning. In Christ, though. Always got to remember it's in Christ. We were elected to salvation in Christ before the foundation of the world. And then it says, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. John Gill brings forth this. Either the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the truth of types and promises, or the substance of the truth of the gospel, which speaks of Christ. So it's in Christ. It's in Christ. It's the gospel, and it's Christ who is the truth incarnate. belief of the truth. We hear the word of God preached and proclaimed in God the Holy Spirit when he regenerates us, by his power, and we believe what we hear. We're given faith to believe. It's wonderful. The gospel, of course, is all about Christ, who is the truth. Who is the truth. In the gospel itself, remember this too, the gospel itself comes from who? The God of all truth. The God of all truth. It's wonderful. So it says here, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And the elect of God must be born again. We must be regenerated. This is the work of the Holy Spirit of God. We believe on Christ because we're born again. We believe on Christ because we've been given the gift of faith and the gift of repentance. We must be born. The Lord said, you must be born again. What comes first, faith or regeneration? Regeneration. You must be born again. And then, you believe. It's wonderful. That just goes in line with Jonah 2, salvation is of the Lord. It's all his work. He's the author of our salvation, and he's the finisher of our salvation. So the elect of God must be born again. They must be regenerated. And this is a work of the Holy Spirit of God. Again, we believe on Christ because we have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. We're born again of the Holy Spirit. And there's also a threefold sanctification of the believer. We are set apart by the Father and made holy and unblameable by Christ. So the Father sets us apart in Christ. And then we're made holy and unblameable in Christ. And then we're born again, regenerated and sanctified by the Holy Spirit of God and by the Word of God. And so the truth here being the gospel of the grace of God, the good news, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now look at verse 14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now God calls his people how? By the preaching of the Word. By the preaching of the Word. By the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's all for his glory, and it's all for his honor, and it's all for his praise. And look at what he said here too. Whereunto he called you by our gospel. It's personal for Paul. Is this not your gospel too? You who believe? It's our gospel, isn't it? Oh my. This is the gospel of my salvation. It is all in Christ and because of Christ. It's all in him. Oh my. To the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in the faith, beloved. Hold fast to the truth which has been taught to you by the Holy Ghost through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand firm in it. Stand firm in it. It's the truth. The gospel of God's free and sovereign grace. And we stand firm in that. We stand firm in that. Now let's look at verse 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which had loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Again, do you have hopes and desires about certain things? We all do. We all do. Are there some things which you hope for, but you have not obtained? Yeah. Yeah. We all have that, isn't it? Hope is defined. I looked up hope in the English language first in the English dictionary, and it says this. The feeling that what is wanted can be had or the events will turn out for the best. And in a person or thing in which expectations are centered, such as the medicine was her last hope, well, our hope is centered in Christ, beloved, as believers. To look forward to with desire and reasonable confidence. Well, we look forward to when we'll be in the Lord's presence, don't we? With confidence, not because of anything in us, but because of who has saved us, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's wonderful. What a hope we have. And then to place trust, to rely upon. And this is what we do in Christ as believers. We place our trust in Christ, and we rely upon Christ, don't we? We rely upon him. So tonight I'd like us to consider the words in our text in verse 16. Good hope through grace. Paul in the verses preceding this verse, had been dealing with the sad account, and starting in verse 1, I'm not going to read it all, it would take too much time for us, but you can read it when you're at home on your own time. He'd been dealing with some heresy that had cropped up too, and account of heresy described in those verses. But note, he gives the brethren, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, cause to rejoice with these little words here. Cause to give glory to God in the fact that the believer has a good hope. How? Through grace. A good hope through grace. And this should, as Paul goes on to say in the last verse there, it should comfort our hearts as believers, and it should establish us in what is set before us. It says, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. And it does, when we ponder the good hope that we have in Christ, oh, does it bring me comfort? Is it so with you? It brings us such comfort, doesn't it? When we contemplate the good hope, and I pray that tonight, that as we look at this good hope that we have in grace, the good hope that we have in grace, or through grace, will comfort our hearts and establish us in every good word and work. Now, the word hope is often used by us, and we do not even consider it. Someone may ask us a question concerning something in our lives or an outcome to a situation, and our reply may be, I hope so. And we use it all the time. I hope so. Yeah, I hope that'll happen. And so let us consider tonight the good hope that we have through grace. Let us look at our text again. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us an everlasting consolation, which is comfort. Consolation there is comfort. He's given us an everlasting comfort. And where's that everlasting comfort? Only in Christ. Eh? Only in Christ. And a good hope through grace. Now the word hope expresses a strong desire. When we hope to do something, we desire to do it. Is it not so? We desire to do it, don't we? When we hope, when we're hoping for something, we either can't wait until it happens, or we desire for it to happen. So it brings forth that connotation of a strong desire. A person wants or desires to do something very much. When they want or desire to do something, they hope for that which they desire. And the Bible uses the word hope frequently, and quite often it is used in reference to our relationship with God and our eternal happiness and eternal glory, which the believer only has in Christ, our hope which we have in Christ alone. Our hope of eternal life is based upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It is found in Him, and the confidence that we have for eternal salvation and eternal security is only in and through Him. Only in and through Him. Because salvation is only found in Christ. And our hope is in what He's accomplished for us, isn't it? It is. What He's accomplished for us in our place as our substitute. He paid the price for all my sins. He did. Oh, what a hope I have in Him. And remember, this wasn't just in His death, was it? But it was also in His life. Because the Lord didn't just die a substitutionary death. He lived a substitutionary life. He lived the life that we never could before God's law and before God's justice. And He did it for His people. And He did it perfectly. And it's accomplished. And so therefore, what a hope we have. What a hope we have, beloved. It's wonderful. It's very comforting for the believer. Very, very comforting. So again, our hope of eternal life is based upon Christ and Christ alone. He lived the perfect life in our place. He shed His blood at Calvary's cross to satisfy God's law and justice in our place, to redeem us, to purchase us from the slave block of sin. And we're only fit to be in God's presence, clothed in His righteousness. Because of what He's done. That's the only reason that we are fit and qualified for heaven, is in and through Christ and Christ alone. What a hope. What a hope we have. We are clothed in His perfect, spotless righteousness, which He gives to us. So our spiritual hope is much greater than and different than a hope or a simple wish or a desire that we may have upon this earth. The spiritual hope spoken of here is all so much greater. Now the Greek word for hope in our text brings forth, it's this, a favorable and confident expectation. A good hope. A favorable and confident expectation, a good hope. And we know that that hope, spoken of in our text, is founded in Christ and Christ alone. Nowhere else. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah 28. When I was looking at Vine today for the word hope. Now, it doesn't say evil hope, but Vine was bringing forth how he calls the refuge of lies that people trust in an evil hope. Because it's based upon a refuge of lies. Isaiah 28, let's look at verses 16 to 19. And first of all, we see the hope that we have, which is in Christ, because we know he's our foundation stone. He's a tried stone. Look at this, verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. So there is the object of our hope. This speaks of Christ, beloved. This speaks of Christ. He is the foundation stone. He is a tried stone. He is the cornerstone. He is a sure foundation. And he that believeth on him shall not make haste. We flee to Christ, don't we? Judgment also I will lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies. Now, this is the evil hope that Vine talks about. It's a refuge of lies that people have. Remember the things I mentioned earlier in the message at first there? The different things that people trust in? Right? It's a refuge of lies. That's exactly what those things are. A refuge of lies. And the water shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled. And your arrangement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. The wrath and justice of God will fall upon those who reject the cornerstone. Those who trust in a refuge of lies. From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. For morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be vexation only to understand the report. So we see here in verse 16, the hope that God's people have in his Christ. Behold, I lay in Zion, that's the church, for a foundation, a stone. This speaks of Christ again, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. One we can trust, and he that believeth shall not make haste. And then we contrast that to the refuge of lies, the false hope seen in verse 17, which the unbeliever has in trusting in their own self-righteousness. Let us look at several passages of Scripture in which the word hope is used. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In reference to the believer and his relationship with God and his expectation of eternal life. Romans chapter 8, verse 24, we'll read it in context and we'll see our first point. Our hope is an unseen hope. Our hope is an unseen hope. Romans chapter 8, verses 22 to 25. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? If you see something, you don't hope for it because you see it. But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. here before us in the Scripture brings forth that our eternal happiness and salvation is in an unseen hope. Something we can't see right now. Someone we can't see right now. The Lord Jesus Christ. But we who believe will see Him one day. Right? He's unseen right now. And by faith we look to Him, don't we? We trust in Him. We trust in Him. Again, look at verse 25. If you see something, you're not hoping for it because you already see it. Right? Paul in verse 24, in the verses before verse 24, is talking about the whole creation. He's talking about the whole creation now. And not only they, or for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. All things in creation, including animals, are subject to vanity and decay because of Adam's sin. When Adam fell, death came into the world. Death came into the world. Sin and death came into the world. By one man's disobedience, sin and death came into the world. And death passed upon not only the human population, but was passed upon the whole world. So the whole world is suffering because of Adam's fall. And we see death all about us, in the trees, the plants, the gardens, everything. The creation groaneth and travaileth unto the day when Christ shall return. There be a new heaven and a new earth where there be no death. In verse 23, it says that we who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ are waiting and looking and hoping for the resurrection and redemption of our bodies. And those bodies will never die, beloved. They'll never decay. And think upon this. They'll never be tainted with sin. Never. Oh, what a hope we have, eh? In Christ. Once we are raised and Christ comes and makes us like Himself, we will never die. We'll never sin again. And there'll be a new heaven and a new earth in which there will be no death, no sin. And God's people say, praise His mighty name. Oh, that'll be wonderful. Now, this is an unseen hope, beloved. But God has promised this. And this is something that will take place. Something that we can be certain of. But it's an unseen hope right now. But one day we will be like Christ. Sinless. Sinless. Let's turn to Romans 5. A few chapters over. Our hope. Do you know that our hope is a growing hope? A maturing hope? It's a growing hope and a maturing hope. This hope that we will be like Christ, that we will one day be in His presence, is a maturing, growing hope. Look at verses 1 to 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way that we can have peace with God is through Christ. There's no other way. There's no other way. That's why all those other things I mentioned are refuges, lies. Because there's no way to have peace with God except through Christ. Except through Christ. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience what? Hope. Hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by who? By the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Note, we glory in tribulation. We glory in troubles and trials, knowing that tribulations or trials worketh patience, and patience worketh experience. Now, I don't know anyone who likes to go through trials and tribulations. If we had a choice, we'd say, no, I don't, right? But God has ordained that we will go through trials and tribulations, beloved. And Paul says here, we glory in troubles and trials. And we'll see why he does that. Now, the word experience is proving through our trials. It means that we're proved. We mature in Christ. We grow in the Lord, learning to trust Him more and more. Maturity produces hope. Maturity in Christ produces hope. As our faith in Christ is proved, and how is it proved, beloved? By trials and tribulations. It's proved to be real. Right? And as it's proved through tribulations, it worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And as we mature in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we grow in grace, we learn to rest more and more upon our Savior. We are being taught to rest in our Savior. And trials and tribulations works hope in us. And think of this. Can we not look back? You've heard me mention this many times. Can we not look back and go, my goodness, how did I make it through that? Well, the Lord carried me through it. And then that gives us hope for what comes next. Doesn't it? What a wonderful Savior we have. What hope we have as believers. When we look and see that the Lord has carried us time and time and time again through trials and tribulations, it gives us hope through the trials of this life. So Paul is bringing forth that through life, we as believers will have trials. And we will have tribulation. There's no escaping it. In this world, you will have tribulation. That's what the Lord said. And every believer has trouble and trials. All that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And these trials, beloved, they teach us patience. They teach us to be patient with the providence of God, don't they? They teach us to rest in Him. They teach us that He's absolutely sovereign. And they teach us how lovingly He carries us and keeps us. It's wonderful. And then these also teach us to be patient with others around us too, don't they? To look at everything through the lens God's sovereignty. Right? It's wonderful. And we learn patience through trials and troubles. When a man or woman goes through a certain trial, it reveals whether or not he believes God and the promises of God. And we see here in Romans 5 that tribulation produces patience, and patience experience, and experience, hope. We mature or grow in grace because going through these situations gives us a better hope. A better hope. All through our life, God gives us successes and failures. Listen, and we can all say that He's done that for all of us. And we learn patience. And we hope in Him. Beloved of God, we are constantly being weaned off the arm of the flesh. We are constantly being weaned from leaning on our own strength. It's our natural tendency as believers even, to lean upon ourselves. I got this, Lord, like Brother Tim bought out and said, I got this, Lord. No, we don't. No, we don't. And we're constantly being taught that, beloved. We're constantly being taught, being weaned off our own flesh, by off the arm of the flesh. Because we constantly battle that, don't we? We constantly battle that. The believer learns to depend upon God. We learn to rest in Him. We learn to trust in Him. As we grow in grace, as we grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the stronger our hope in Christ becomes. As we mature in the Lord, our hope grows in the Lord Jesus Christ. Think, beloved of God, have you more hope now than when the Lord first saved you? Do you have more hope in Him now than when He first saved you? It's because you're growing in Christ. It's because He taught you. And what has He taught us, beloved? He's taught us about His faithfulness, hasn't He? He's taught us that. He's the one who keeps us. And He's taught us again and again and again through trials, tribulations, and troubles. And as He's done that, our hope in Him has grown. Has grown. He is faithful to us at all times, beloved. He's the God of all comfort. And He has proved it over and over and over again to we who believe. To we who are His people. And has not our hope in Him grown? Praise His mighty name, it has. It has. Turn, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 1. The next point I'd like us to look at is our hope. Our hope is a living hope. Our hope is a living hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. What a hope we have, beloved. It's a living hope because it's in Him who lives forever. The Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, who saves us and keeps us. According to verse 5, He keeps us. And this hope is given to us how? Through grace. Through grace. It's an unseen hope. It's a maturing hope. And now we see it's a living hope. It's a living hope. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a living hope. And look what falls by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our hope is not in a creed or a catechism. Our hope is not in a church or church membership or in a priest. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Christ hath begotten us into a living hope. We're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And this is, again, is not talking about an old profession of faith made 20 years ago. No. No, it's not talking about some experience someone had. Oh, no. This is a living hope. And it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have that hope right now as believers. Our Lord is the one who was raised from the dead and came forth from the tomb. It is He who hath begotten us into a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The Lord Jesus Christ was dead. He died and was buried, and it is he who rose from the grave and ascended to the right hand of the Father. Our hope, beloved, is a living hope. He's a living hope. This spiritual hope is according to the Word of God, and it's an unseen hope, a growing hope, a maturing hope, and a living hope. And the object of our hope is the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's all centered in him. Now turn, if you would, to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. It's a purifying hope, beloved. This hope is a purifying hope. A purifying hope. Good hope through grace is a purifying hope. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. My, we could just sit there, couldn't we? That we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Note, beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. We cannot fully grasp what's being said here, beloved. I can't. This is amazing grace. This is amazing grace. I don't know what this fully means, and we're sinners saved by grace, but it goes on to say, when he shall appear, when Christ returns, we shall be like him. Now we know this much, that the Word of God tells us, we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then in verse 3, John says that every man that hath this hope, the hope in Christ, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. What hope is he talking about when he says, we will have this hope? Every man that hath this hope. Now we are the sons of God. Beloved of God, we are now the sons of God. This is not something that's going to take place later. We who believe are right now the sons of God by faith in Christ. By the blood of Christ. By the death of Christ. And being accepted in him, we are adopted into the family of God. We are the sons of God. And we're going to be like Christ. We have a hope that someday we will be raised from the grave incorruptible. Just means we'll be sinless. We'll be sinless. Immortal. We'll live for eternity. And we'll be perfectly conformed to the image of the Son. I can't grasp that yet. In my little mind right now, it's just overwhelming, isn't it? This is what the Scripture says, though. We're going to be like him. We're going to be sinless. And the doctrine of the second coming of Christ who is our hope, is a purifying hope in the lives of the elect. This hope influences the believer's life. You know how people say, well, if I believe like you, I go out and do whatever I want. You don't know grace when you're saying something like that. My goodness. Because this hope that we have in Christ, we desire to walk in holiness, don't we? Do you sin more than you want? I sure do. My goodness. In this hope that we have, we desire to walk in holiness and truth and integrity and honesty and And this hope we have is in Christ, and it causes us desire to bring glory to him, to bring glory to our Master. And it's the love of Christ. What constrains us from sin? The love of Christ. The love of Christ. Now we've looked at how this hope we have is unseen hope. It is as sure as the promises of God, though, beloved. Because it's in Christ and through Christ, who is God incarnate in the flesh. This good hope that we have through grace is as sure as the word of God, beloved. It's unseen, and it's a maturing hope as the years go by, as we grow in grace, as you go through trials and God deals with you in His providence and in His purpose, our hope is strengthened and our hope matures. And it's also a living hope because it's in Christ. We look to Him as opposed to a dead hope that the unsaved. Because they look to themselves. We look to Christ. And this good hope we have through grace is a purifying hope. It influences and affects a man's conduct and character and conversation. It's a good hope. It's a good hope. You know why it's a good hope? Do you know why the believer's hope is a good hope? Because God gave it to us. Because God gave it to us. God gave us this hope through grace, didn't He? Through grace. This is what our text says. Our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father who loved us with eternal love has given us a good hope through grace. A good hope through grace. Through His mercy and His grace which has been bestowed upon us. And how does it come to us? In and through the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. No other way. And this hope is the gift of God. And our Lord doesn't give anything but good gifts. Right? He doesn't. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And we know that every good gift and perfect gift cometh from God. Comes from above. And every spiritual gift that we have is a good gift, beloved. It's a good gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Why is our hope a good hope? Because God gave it to us. He's the one that loved us when we didn't love Him. In our natural state, beloved, we did not love God. And we love Him because He first loved us. And He not only loved us, but He chose us in Christ in eternity. Ye have not chosen me, the Master said, but I have chosen you. Oh my, what peace that speaks to my soul. What hope that gives to me when I hear those words. Because I know I never would have chosen Him unless He had chosen me. And God chose us in Christ when? Before the foundation of the world. He chose us from the beginning unto salvation. Look at verse 13 again in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. He not only loved us from eternity, He not only chose us in Christ from eternity, but He called us, beloved, by His irresistible, eternal, merciful grace. Paul said, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb to call me by His grace. Oh my. Turn, if you would, to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And then put your finger in Romans chapter 15. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and Romans chapter 15. Paul said again, it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb to call me by His grace. We who believe are the called of Christ Jesus. We call on God, but we call on Him because He has called us by His grace. We flee to Christ because He has called us by His grace. He not only loved us and chose us in Christ, God not only loved us and chose us in Christ and called us, but beloved, He keeps us. He keeps us by His power. And you know, look at this in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be what? Forever. Forever. Oh my. What security the believer has in Christ. If I'm saved in Christ, it's forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken away from it. In God doeth it, that man should fear before him. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. As I was looking at that, I thought, what a blessed verse for eternal security in Christ. It's not based upon me. If God saved me, it's forever. And he has, by his grace. Oh my, what comfort, what a hope we have, beloved. Now turn, if you would, over to Romans chapter 15. And we're almost finished. Over here in Romans 15, 13, God is spoken of as the God of hope, beloved. He's the author of our hope. Think of this. He's the author of our hope. The good hope which we have through grace, he's the author of it. The good hope which we have through grace, he's the sustainer of it. And the good hope that we have through grace, he's the giver of it. And it's all in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy. May we leave here tonight, beloved, filled with joy. Because the God of all, the God of hope, hath saved us. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope. And we do, don't we? We abound in hope when you think of it. What we have, the salvation that we have in Christ, we abound in hope, beloved. Others hope in themselves, and it's a refuge of lies, but what a hope we have in Christ. It's an abounding hope. Oh my, it'll fill us with joy when we think of it. And look at this though, through the power of the Holy Ghost. Salvation's of the Lord, beloved. It's all he's doing. It's all he's doing. The God of hope. Again, he's the author of it. He's the sustainer of it. And Christ is the subject of it. And he's the giver of it. This hope we have in Christ is the anchor of our souls amidst the storms of life. Amidst the trials and troubles which come our way. So let us conclude with this. Again, do you know why our hope is a good hope? It's because God has given it to us. It's because God has given it to us. God himself, God our Father, the God of hope, hath given us a good hope through grace in Christ alone. Beloved, that's a good hope. That's a good hope. Praise his mighty name.